Well, thank you very much for a great meal. And I think we should show our appreciation to all those who and I believe there's more to come, which is great. But just to help you to tune into my accent, is everyone comfortable? Do you want to twist your chair around so that you're not... Are you okay there? Saving your neck if you want to twist around. But I'll tell you a little story. It's got to be about Paddy. Paddy the Irishman, he fancied a motorcycle, and he bought this big motorcycle. I like bikes myself. And he thought, now how... I must show this to Murphy. So he goes around to his friend Murphy, says, Murphy, you must come with me for a ride on this motorcycle. So Murphy climbs on the back behind Paddy, and off they go, round corners and over yumps and having a great time. And then all of a sudden, Murphy taps Paddy on his shoulder and he says, stop, I'm frozen, I'm really, really cold. So Paddy had the idea and he said to Murphy, he says, take off your jacket and put it on back to front, and that'll stop the wind from getting through to you, which was a great idea, and he buttoned it up the back, and back on the bike, and off they went again. And after some time, Paddy realised Murphy was missing. He just wasn't there. And of course, he wheeled round, and he thought to himself, where could he be? And they went round corners, and he was thinking, where could he have fallen off? And then he went round this corner, and sure enough, blue lights, traffic jam, paramedics, ambulance. And he thought, this must be Murphy. And so he worked his way through the crowd, and there was the paramedic working on Murphy. And Paddy says to the paramedic, is he all right? Is he all right? And the paramedic said, well, he seemed to be until we turned his neck, his head around the right way. Get it?
Good. You're with me.
So. But actually, there's a spiritual lesson to that story, believe it or not. Because the Lord Jesus, he spoke about people who were facing in his direction, but their hearts were far from him. And it's possible to even attend church and sing all the hymns, and to nod to what the preacher is saying, but your heart can be miles away. And the Lord spoke about people like this. They come, and they do all the right things, but their hearts are far from me. And that could be you tonight. You've switched off at this point because this is the preachy bit. This is the religious bit. So I'm just going to shut down at this stage and just hang on for my dessert. Well, what I want to share with you is important, and I would like you just to tune in for the few minutes that I have to talk to you, because I want to share with you some words from God's Word. This is God's living Word, and it's powerful, and it's able to change lives. And I can testify to that because He has changed my life. But listen to what the Bible says, and this is recorded by a prophet called Isaiah. And he says this being a harvest event, we read, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So that's the Lord speaking directly to you and me, telling us, just as the snow and the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and produces a crop, so my word, God says, will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish things through it. And so as you listen to the word of God, you're hearing from God himself to you as an individual. Three simple things I want to share with you. Three simple points to consider. I want us to think about the harvest. I want us to think about the Word of God. And I want us to think about life. From this passage of Scripture, he talks about the snow and the rain coming down from heaven. And yes, the snow and the rain is necessary to moisten the ground so that the crops can grow. This is all part of the design of God, the cycle. Yeah. Even lightning has got a purpose. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but thanks to lightning, thanks to that electrical charge in the air, nitrogen and oxygen is combined into nitrates, and as the rain comes down, it brings that nitrate down onto the ground and fertilizes the ground. It's all part of God's design that things can grow. When you sow your seed, you expect a crop. If you sow carrots, you don't expect parsnip. When you sow lettuces, you don't expect cabbage. And that's another law of God. The Bible tells us so. It's the law where it says, whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. So whatever you sow, you expect that crop to come. The farmer, he expects whenever he goes out with his tractor and plow and digs up that, turns over that ground and plants his seed, he is expecting to have a harvest one day. And it's the same rule applies to each one of our lives. The Bible is quite clear, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. In other words, you live to please yourself, and you will reap destruction, or sow to please God, and you will reap eternal life. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And of course, this is where the Word of God is so vital. Because, see, the Word of God, listen to what God says about it, His Word. He says, just as the snow and the rain waters the earth and produces a crop, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish that which I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Again, it's the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow to your soul, you will reap. So I want to ask the question, what are you sowing into your soul? Are you sowing anything into your soul? Do you even think about your soul? Do you understand that the only thing that can feed your soul is the Word of God? It's living, it's active, it's powerful. And you know, you take a little brown seed, and it's dried up, and it's wrinkly, and it looks odd, and it looks old, and yet you place it in the ground, and with the moisture of the ground and the heat of the ground, that little brown seed has life, and it flourishes and grows. In the very same way, the Word of God, as it touches your soul and as you feed your soul with the Word of God, it will take root and it will flourish. And your soul will live because the Word of God is active. It's living. It will accomplish that which God wants it to do. Now, I had a great crop of beetroot last year. Anyone have a good crop this year? You did. You did better than me because it made a good start, but it never came to anything. Last year, I had beautiful beetroot. I didn't realize that I let it grow too big. It was big as turnips. But if it gets too big, it becomes tough, and you can't use it. I didn't know that. I was so proud of my beetroot, but it was a disaster, but it grew well. And because the ground isn't very good, and I was thinking, this year, I'm going to have a bumper crop of beetroot. But it started well, and then it just fizzled out. Why did that happen? I turned over the soil, I sowed my seed, just like I did last year, but it never flourished. The reason? I didn't feed the soil with manure. I dug in the manure last year, but I didn't think it was important this year. I didn't bother, I had other things to do. I didn't take time to prepare the soil, and there was no crop. In the very same way, we need to prepare our lives and our souls to receive that seed. That Word of God. Because it's that Word of God that can work in your life and can transform your life. The Lord can do wonders, but you need to be open. You need to come to God and you need to be open before Him with the attitude, Lord, you have your way in my life that I might be that which you want me to be. And this is what God does. We need to prepare our hearts as we come. As we come to church. We need to prepare our hearts to receive the seed that God might do and accomplish that which he sends his word forth to do. And it can only be good and it can only be blessing. Which brings us me to the third point. We've thought about the harvest, what God wants to do in your life and mine. We've thought about how he does it through the word of God as it's sown in our hearts. But thirdly, I want us to think about the life that God speaks about. Listen to it. He says, it's life with a capital L. He says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. You see, it's speaking about a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of singing, a life of celebration and clapping hands. There will be a change will take place, and it is a life that cannot be destroyed. Now, that's the life that comes with knowing God. That's the life that comes when you come to that place where you repent and you turn to Christ for salvation. You see, every one of us here tonight are in one of two categories. You're either living or you're perishing, one or the other. And we find this word perish in the Bible in many places, and it doesn't mean an end of life, but it means an endless life of misery and loss. And the Bible tells us quite clearly, Jesus said himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So you and I were in one of two camps. We're either in the group of who are perishing, or we're in the group that have life. Now, a couple of summers ago, I found myself wrapping bales. We're all familiar at harvest time. We look in the fields and you'll see these big bales of grass all wrapped up in polythene. Well, I was taught how to do that. I was shown how to do it. First, you would bale up the bale and then you put it on the wrapper and it would spin 16 times. It would spin that way and it would spin that way. And the bale would be wrapped 4 times with a cellophane plastic. Now, what was the point of doing that? The point of doing that was that the grass would not perish, that it would last into winter to feed the animals. That's the idea of wrapping bales of grass and silage, that it will not perish. And then when we think of the Lord Jesus, he humbled himself, he took on human flesh, he left the splendor of heaven, was born into this world. And then young Mary, who was just a teenager, took him and we're told she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. But that's not the end of the story, because God's plan was to continue. Christ grew. He lived among men. He demonstrated God's love for us, human beings. He lived a perfect life. He was crucified on a cross, taking the sin of mankind upon himself. He was buried, dead, but he rose again and has ascended to the Father who is in heaven. Now, the amazing thing is, the reason that he did all of that was that you and I could be wrapped in his righteousness. Because whenever you come to that place of facing up to your life and the sin, and you turn to Christ for cleansing and forgiveness, the Lord Jesus Christ saves us. He gives us a new life. And he wraps us in his righteousness. He wraps us in his righteousness so that when God the Father looks upon us, he doesn't see us in our sin and our failure. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus. That wrapping preserves your life from perishing. And at this harvest season, we need to think on these things. The Lord supplied the harvest. We thank him for it. It's good that we do so. But the Lord has supplied something greater. He supplied a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who can save you from your sin, who will wrap you in his righteousness, and instead of being in the camp of perishing, where you're facing a life of endless misery, you're entering a life of eternal life. As the Bible says, you shall go out with joy, you shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will burst in song before you. In other words, your whole horizon will change. You'll have a purpose in your life because God is guiding you. And you'll have what is called eternal life. And remember this, being saved or becoming a Christian is not being just saved from a future hell, but it's living a life with a capital L. It begins the moment you place your trust in Christ as your Savior. How can we know this life? Well, Isaiah tells us. A little earlier on in this chapter, he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Do you know the greatest feeling that I have ever experienced in my 50 years of life is the feeling of pardon and peace. There is nothing like knowing you are pardoned. There is nothing like knowing the peace of God. It is something that this world cannot offer, this world cannot give. It's only something the Savior can do when you turn to him. So remember this, a harvest can be lost if you don't take action when it's ripe. Correct? When your grain is ready for harvesting, you need to go in there with a combine harvester and reap it, or else you'll lose it. In the same way, we must take action when the Lord is near. And his word says to us, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And I'm sure Tim would be glad to speak to you, or any of the elders here, the deacons, to talk to you further about what it means to know the Lord Jesus and how I can have this pardon and peace in my life. This is what the Lord Jesus does. He wants your life to produce fruits of righteousness to his glory, that your life will have purpose, meaning, direction, fruitful. So think about these things. The Lord is near. Call upon him while he is near. And know what we've read about here, this life with a capital L. Thanks for listening so well. It's over to you, Tim.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Just to say before we go on to the puddings, Andrew was saying there that the key to changing the life from the one to a life that's perishing to life with a capital L, it involves God's Word, the Bible, doing its work in our lives. And from time to time as a church, we run courses, particularly a course called Christianity Explored, which aims to let you experience that. In the course, you actually look at Mark's Gospel, one of the biographies of Jesus in the Bible, over 7 weeks, over seven sessions, and in that way, let God's Word do its work in your life as you explore Christianity. There's a clipboard, or it will be in a minute, out in the foyer. If you're interested in finding out more, want to come along to one of those courses, just stick your name down in some way we can get in contact with you. And the next time we're running a course, we'll get in touch and see if you're interested in coming. Also, when you leave at the end, I'll probably be at the door giving out little welcome booklets which tell you a bit more about the church. We're here not just on Tuesdays, we're here every Sunday at 10 and 6. And at the heart of what we do on a Sunday, again, is explaining the Bible, explaining the Word of God, so that God's Word can do its work, its life-changing work in your life. So we'd really invite you to come along to the Sunday services, Christianity Explored course, or whatever else is on at the church that suits you.